Off the Ball, GAA.
Somebody's going to win and somebody unfortunately is not going to win, and we had a lot of days against Armagh. They're very, very special.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome along to a very special football show here on Off the Ball. It's Owen and Nathan here with you until 10 o'clock this evening, and a whole host of other voices are coming your way because massive change to the calendar of football in this country is imminent. The aligned calendar is due to begin its implementation from next January. That means a lot of things. Summer soccer is one of the labels that's attached to it in many cases, and we're going to be hearing from you between now and 10 o'clock this evening. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to get in touch, you can drop us a message, a voice note, and if you want to send a message that you're available for a call, we will give you a call back. Nathan, very briefly, before we start speaking to people this evening, just give us a top line of what's at stake here.
Yeah, I think it's become increasingly a hot topic in Irish football because we are on the cusp of the start of this aligned calendar for children up to the age of 12. It is due to start in January of next year. That is when everybody will register and your season will start from there. So at grassroots level, it's going to be a seismic change for children and for adults. The traditional September to May season will be no more. This part of the Football Pathways Plan, launched over a year ago by Mark Cannon, part of his vision for Irish football for the next 10-12 years. The aim of it is that you have not just an aligned calendar, but an alignment across the country in terms of playing opportunities. So you build the pyramid at the bottom. Everybody starts at the same time. Everybody finishes at the same time. That then leads up the pyramid into League of Ireland academies and ultimately resulting in more players at senior international level. As you say, the obvious benefit of playing more football at this time of the year is that the weather is better. There's more opportunities to play with longer evenings. It's not necessarily summer soccer. You could have a season that starts in February, goes to mid-June, finishes up for the summer and restarts again. But that would be seen as a massive con by a lot of people that teams may not want to resume after a break if they're out of contention.
Right, let's get to our first caller this evening. Sarah Duffy is the Wicklow District Secretary and also Chairperson of the Grassroots Amateur Football Clubs of Ireland. Sarah, very good evening to you.
Good evening and thank you very much for having me on this evening. As you've mentioned, I am the chairperson of the Grassroots Amateur Football Clubs of Ireland, which was founded to give clubs a voice on one issue only, right of choice, right of clubs and leagues to retain the right of choice to determine our playing season. And we were founded in February 2025. We are 600 clubs across 17 counties from 23 leagues, formed through volunteers networking with no social media presence or media coverage up till tonight. And we formed one of the sole mandates to campaign to retain the right of choice for clubs and leagues to determine their playing season, winter or summer football, as people call it.
So is it fair to say that you're against the aligned calendar that's incoming?
No, we feel that the clubs deserve the right to choice, either remain the way they are playing, which is either summer or winter. We have a number of leagues in our country and provinces that play summer football already. A lot of the girls would play summer football. A lot of the boys' leagues would also play winter football. Some of them play summer football. It is giving people the right to choice to stay and not channeling them down one lane and saying, we all have to play this way. And that mantra, the FAI mantra, we cannot simply register in January and take a break in summer months.
Why not?
Already been rejected, but it's been rejected by clubs to say we will actually lose 40 to 50% participation and volunteer numbers alone. It's the volunteers that run the clubs as well. And it's been instructed and it's been put to a lot of the clubs. And that is why we have 600 clubs across 17 counties and 23 leagues that want to remain the way they are, that they're trying to share community pitches and stuff like that. And it's not sustainable whatsoever. It's irresponsible, if not reckless, and for the FAI to try and push that upon us and to push that on volunteers and grassroots. That's where the League of Ireland, that's where it all starts, is grassroots.
Sarah, this has been an operation in certain parts of the country for, well, decades at this stage, in places like Clare, in places like Mayo, and the sky hasn't fallen in. And what the FAI are talking about is a registration period. They're not talking about winter football or summer football. So you don't have to play during July and August if you don't want to. You can start your season, take a break and resume. What is the big issue with doing that? Why couldn't you just play February to mid-June, take a break for 6-7 weeks and then restart the league for another 10 weeks?
Because from a parent's point of view and a coaching point of view, that is not sustainable whatsoever. The GAA season is also been affected by this. So there's so many children. If you're playing in any sort of a competition at a grassroots level, you're not going to take a break. You're not going to come back after July and August and say, we'll pick up where we left off.
Why?
Because it's not sustainable. It's not the right way forward as a parent. The parents don't want that. The volunteers don't want that. We've put this to the clubs on numerous occasions, as have most of the leagues have put this to the clubs. And it's not a runner. So they need to listen to it. It's the clubs, the volunteers and the leagues that run the football community everywhere.
But are the parents, Sarah, not getting a break during the summer months? And the majority of players just love the game. They love watching it. They love playing it. They're the ones who want to play as much as possible. So surely they'd be more than happy to come back in September. Is it for competitive reasons that if a team has lost most of their games before the break, they just wouldn't want to resume?
Yeah, you could get that. A lot of clubs aren't a win at all costs at that measure. I wouldn't fully agree with that. But parents do want to break, but they also commit to paying memberships for a full season. And that's not a runner. You take a break, you still get charged for the 2 months that you're off. That's a no-brainer.
But there's still going to be a break, Sarah. There's going to be a break at some stage during the year.
There's a break when the pitches need repair and when the Irish weather, as we all know it too well, plays havoc. So the winter months, December, January, when that kicks in, pitches are unplayable. We're not the European countries of Spain and stuff where their pitches are the opposite direction. So the pitches need time to repair, and they don't need time to repair. In the summer months, the kids want to be doing stuff and playing, as you said. They want to keep playing. So why stop them in July or August or June? Why stop them?
That number you gave of 40 to 50% potential drop-off if this was to be forced through, where's that coming from?
That was, we have sent out, so the... That's through the different leagues. So the Leinster clubs balloted 85% to remain at winter season, to the best of my knowledge. The SFAI delegates balloted unanimously the right to retain the right to choice. The Ulster Football Association also voted unanimously to retain the right to choice. The SFAI mantra, what I spoke about earlier, we can't simply register children and players in January and then take a break in the summer months, as I said. We will lose 40 to 50% participation because the pitches are going to be hammered. People that, the majority of rural communities share community pitches. People have invested in this. You can't simply play to those months. You just can't. You're going to lose volunteers. They are the key, as well as the grassroots players. I can't emphasise it enough. And we're not, as the grassroots amateur football club of Ireland, we have stated that it is irresponsible, if not reckless, on the FAI not to initiate a risk assessment on the impact change to summer season football, which, you know, would have a massive effect on participation numbers, volunteers, the financial loss to clubs. And that is where they make their money.
Okay.
Their summer camp. They're playing football.
Sarah, we might ask you to stay on the line here. We want to get a few other opinions on the show this evening. 0879 180 180 is our WhatsApp number. Jamie Farrell, who is chairman in Bunclody, I believe, is on the line. Jamie, very good evening to you.
Good evening. How are you?
Very well. What's your general take on this? What side of the fence are you on with regards to the Align calendar?
Yeah, well, look, my points have always been very clear on it. I think some of the aspects that they have in the Align calendar are very good. It's good for the Irish game. It's going to be good for soccer. However, this switch of the calendar, this switch to a calendar season and this playing from January to December, in my opinion, is a massive, massive risk that the FAI are putting on the clubs. And the reason being, guys, as Sarah said, to not carry out any sort of risk assessment, whether it be at an FAI level, whether it be at an independent level, to me is just bonkers. We aren't just talking about players here. We're talking about livelihoods. And what I mean about that, there's trustees around this country who have their names on financial documents for mortgages, for loans. There's players that want to play football. They want to play GAA. They want to play basketball. They want to play rugby. And parents want them involved in all these things. What the FAI are doing here are going to drive kids and adults, sorry, it's going to affect everyone. They're going to drive people into depression. And it's as simple as that. And the reason being that kids and adults are going to have to choose between one sport and another. They're not going to be able to play everything. And it's going to drive people insane. And that's my opinion on it.
Is there not already a world where there's a lot of different sports competing for kids' attention, no matter what time of the year it is? If it's the summertime in a lot of counties, it's Gaelic games. If it's the wintertime, it tends to be rugby or basketball. So there's always going to be competition, is there not? Why is this suddenly going to become a big factor, Jamie, do you think?
There is, Nathan, but the problem, and like the one thing that I've heard through discussions is, oh, the GAA are running yearly now as well. And yeah, you're 100% correct. They are. But from my perspective, I'm a chairman here in Bunk Clody. I coach the under-9 boys team, and I was a coach with our men's B team. I also referee GAA. I'm involved in that. I bring my young lads and my kids to rugby. So we're already spread, right? And if we're going to put them all into the same calendar where you're at peak season in championship, where you're going to be at peak season in leagues, and maybe entering into cups, there's something that has to give. And like the FAI keep on coming out and keep on saying this, oh, take a break during the summer months, go 3v3, go into futsal, do all that sort of stuff. That's grand. Who's going to facilitate it, guys? Where are we going to get the coaches? Because most coaches that coach in GAA coach in soccer and vice versa. Most referees are reffing soccer and are reffing GAA and are reffing rugby.
But I guess no one needs to facilitate the break in the summer. So if we take that argument, first of all, Jamie, what's your response to you can take a break in the summer to avoid those serious clashes or to avoid those times when there might be an exodus of people on holidays or whatever the case may be? Because that would require no staff, no extra resources.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily the case, though, is it? Because like they're talking about taking a break during the summer. Now, people in this country are already stressed, are already stressed enough when it comes down to financial worries. So if you're talking taking a break between June and July, most people now are spreading their holidays over May, June, July, August, and even into September. So you're always going to be missing people, number one. If you're competing in a league and as a league format and you take a break in a league format, right, and let's say that team is bottom of the division, what are your chances to get these people back? What are your chances to get them back interested? If you're doing it in a cup format and you're getting to quarter-final stage and all of a sudden you break, now that your momentum is gone, your intensity is gone, how are you going to get that back as a coach? It's just no other sport in this world takes a break during summer months. It just doesn't happen. And the FAI are being so unreasonable and so, I suppose, undemocratic is the word, to be asking clubs to do that. And the other thing that I'll say, our club were in a cup semi-final last night, and we've had very good weather over the last 2 or 3 weeks. That ground was absolutely rock hard, and we're going to be asking people to play on rock hard surfaces. Any physio, sports therapist, doctor, anything, anyone that's to do with sport will tell you that hard ground is so much worse for muscles, for ligaments, for joints than soft ground is. the need to carry out a risk assessment, to put a whole pause on this and carry out an independent risk assessment of all factors is vitally important.
So if it was raining and the ground was a bit softer, you'd be okay with it?
Look, why fix something that's not broken? I know what they're saying, that pitches are during the rain, during November, December and January, the pitches are getting soft and all that sort of stuff. But it's been the same for the last 20, 30, 40 years. And the reason that we're fixing it, or that they're trying to change it now, lads, isn't because they want more players playing soccer. That's not what they want. They want an aligned registration period so that the FAI, or so that the League of Ireland clubs, aren't having to chase down grassroots clubs and aren't having to put the effort in to get grassroots players to League of Ireland level. There's so much better ways of doing this, but they won't listen to the grassroots clubs. They won't listen to the people that are on the ground. The chairman, the committee members, the volunteers, the players, the parents. If they listen to them, they might get an idea that will make this work for everyone. But an aligned calendar is not the way.
I just want to bring in Shane Kennedy here. He's a League of Ireland late night regular. His son plays under eights for Shells. Shane, a very good evening to you. Thanks for Emily for taking the call. I know you're more in favour of the aligned calendar, right?
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Thanks for having me on. I just think it comes down to, ultimately, you hear a lot of Gaelic on the opposite side, but you hear a lot of GAA stuff, and I think it just comes down to what your number one sport is, in my opinion. Like my son goes out training in the middle of November, and it's absolutely lashing rain and it's windy, it's like all that stuff, the weather conditions, it's not great for the top players, like he wouldn't, like, you know what I mean, but the anyone who puts football first, I think, or we call it soccer if you want to call it that, I think should be in favour of this. His team, his clubs, all the teams have played a lot more football in the past 2 months than they have in the previous probably 6 months. They're playing different friendlies during the midweek. They're playing tournaments, skillboy tournaments, left, right and centre. They could say tournaments. It's just more to get them on the grass. But they're on the grass more. And if there is a break, I hear they talk about the surface ground. Would that not be the same for Gaelic in the summer? Kind of that point was made, like the ground is hard, but just the GAA and all the other sports not run through the summer. That's one kind of question I'd ask there. But yeah, they're just on the grass more and they're not playing in the winter. I think the kids deserve a break to play their PlayStation when it's lashing rain outside instead of having to go training for those 2 months. I don't know what the other clubs around Europe do, but I just think playing when it's sunny and the weather's better, you just have kids on the grass more. And I think the advanced football, your man said it's 25, 30 years, but Irish football has been non-competitive. We haven't been in a World Cup in 20-odd years. So in my opinion, something has to change for the benefit of football in the country. That's just in my opinion.
I think Jamie touched on an interesting point about coaches and the pressure that this might put on coaches and how common it is for coaches to be involved around a variety of sports and volunteering around a variety of sports. One of the things that came back from a DDSL survey was that 43% of respondents said volunteering negatively impacted on their work-life balance. And I think that would ring home with a lot of people who volunteered that they absolutely love doing it, but it is a labour of love and there is a huge time commitment involved, and that a big change in schedule around the country will put an awful lot of pressure on people and make them choose between sports, whereas at the moment they may be in a position where they can combine the two of them. So that's definitely an issue in certain parts of the country. I think, as we can hear, there's probably something of an inconsistency in opposition to this. A lot of people feel we want to get to play in the summer because the ground is better. The ground is most certainly harder. In certain parts, we're already taking a break during the winter because the weather is so bad that, you know, pitches end up being closed for 6 to 8 weeks. I remember last year there was certainly a long spell, maybe even longer than 6 to 8 weeks, where a lot of the public parks were closed and there was no Gaelic games taking place. There was no soccer taking place. So I honestly feel over the course of 12 months, regardless of when you play, you're probably going to end up playing the same amount of games.
Let's bring David in now to the conversation. David, a very good evening to you.
How you doing, guys?
Very well, thanks. So tell us your own background, who you're involved with, and what's your general take on the situation?
Yeah, so I'm involved with an amateur club in Ringsend, in Leinster Senior League, and we have senior men, senior ladies, and over 35s. And for me, like my own, you know, feeling would be that a move to summer football would be a positive thing. So I say summer football, it's calendar year football. It's you know, the winter season is partly played during summer as well. You start off in August and you run right through to, in some cases, into June. I see, from our perspective, our ladies teams, for example, play March to October, the over 35s. And for me, attending those games is more enjoyable. It's more of an occasion. A lot more people will go and watch because the weather's nice. It's just more enjoyable. Whereas, you know, our senior men are playing in the depths of winter, and you know, you look outside the window and you're like, do I really want to go down and watch that game? Obviously, you do as a passionate member of the club and supporter, but you know, you've got 50 layers on you and stuff like that. And I think there's other aspects to it as well. For me, the pitches is obviously a big thing, and condition of pitches during the winter period. The fact that we're shut down for most of December anyway, like for at least 4 weeks, from early December through to early January. And if your club uses council pitches, you might not get back onto a pitch until mid-January. And then you're into the dodgy weather, the weather warnings, which a lot of leagues now won't, will blanket call off games as soon as there's a puff of wind, you know. So, I think it just makes sense. And then there's a cost aspect to it as well. Like clubs that run floodlights and stuff like that would be reduced because they'll have a 10 to 12 week period from kind of early May through to mid-August where they can play matches, you know, without having to use floodlights. So referees are more available because you can play matches midweek without the need for floodlights on public parks. So it spreads out the availability of referees.
David, is there an argument for putting adult football as an aligned calendar, but leaving underage football as it is? Because I think what you're talking about, all those benefits, the adult game, and you'll probably correct me here, feels like it's easier to organise, that the players who are still playing at that age are committed, they understand when they need to turn up for games. There's not as many teams, there's not as many leagues. And I was saying, say at under 12 level in Dublin alone, there's 23 separate leagues, that if you're missing three or four players every weekend at underage level, it's an enormous headache to try and organise that. Whereas at adult level, maybe that's a bit more straightforward.
Well, like, I'm a father for myself, and two of my children play schoolgirl, schoolboy football. And one example for me, I brought my daughter to a game back in January in Portrane on a Sunday morning, and I was absolutely bitter. And she wasn't enjoying the game. She wasn't enjoying the warm up. It gets better as the game goes on, but as parents, you're not enjoying the game. You're not enjoying the occasion. I don't see a difference. The game needs a change. We don't need to be always comparing ourselves with the UK and other European countries. We should do it the way that works best for us. And I don't buy into this argument with GAA and having us against them. And if players want to play both sports, they will still play both sports. And you know, if they decide to play one over the other, then that's fine as well. It's really about, I think it'll increase participation. I don't think you'll see the drop-off that I think your first caller mentioned. I mean, they're quoting numbers there and they can't seem to actually back it up with evidence. You know, if you're going to oppose something, you know, put a strong argument forward and base that argument on evidence that you've got it from these members rather than just saying, I don't want to play a calendar year season. And the thing is, it's only an adjustment in dates. You know, like I said earlier, you're already playing a much year season. You know, you're going into June. I mean, I know our league, for example, there will be some games that move into June because of that period in January and February when you don't play matches because of the weather. You know, you have a backlog of games. You're playing three and four matches a week to try and catch up, and everyone's at the gym anyway, and you only really have July off, and then you're back into it in August.
That's it. I just want to bring Jamie back into situation and into the conversation here. Jamie Farrell, who is the chairman of Bung, Claude, you were just joining us, is still on the line with us. Do you not think there's some very valid points being made here? Like the overarching one from David there about increased participation is exactly what the FAI are going for here. And even other elements there about like the cost of floodlights during the summertime being less. Do you not subscribe to any of those ideas?
Look, very, very valid points. Don't get me wrong. Do you know what I mean? They certainly are. The one thing I would say is that I would take from both of the previous gentlemen that spoke there were, this comes down to a right of choice, guys. Do you know what I mean? If we want to play the winter season here in Wexford, and most of our clubs have voted for that, why not allow us to play the winter season? If they want to play summer soccer or a line season in Dublin, allow them to play in line season. Yes, there's going to be a reduction in cost for floodlights. There's going to be a reduction in electricity costs. But the one thing that's not going to come here is there's not going to be a reduction of costs in membership. There's not going to be a reduction of costs when it comes to our pitches, because you're going to need to get water on your pitches. And that's the one thing, like when we say the better pitches, 100% is they're better pitches in the summer. But the one thing that we're not taking into consideration is the condition of those pitches. If the pitch is like concrete, it can have all the grass in the world.
But Jamie, you can't say the pitches are going to be in better condition in the middle of winter than they are in the middle of summer.
Or sorry, in the middle of summer, I meant. Is what I meant. Pitches are better in the middle of summer. That's a given. We all know that. But when they're like concrete, because the sun is after shining for 3 weeks, are they in much better condition for the people that are playing on it?
Well, they're available. You can play, and I mean,
correct. If they're available, but what about the clubs that are sharing pitches with GAA? Such as the council fields and the council pitches that the previous gentleman spoke about. You can't play a soccer match during the middle of a GAA match, guys. Do you know what I mean? This all comes down to, as I said, it's just a matter of choice. All I'm asking for as a chairman, and all we are asking for in Wexford, is that the FAI give us the right to choose our season. That's all.
But that seems as though you have a bigger issue with the FAI than you do with the move to an aligned calendar. Like, if it works in Clare, if it works in Mayo, why couldn't it work in Wexford?
It works in those countries. It didn't work in Wicklow. Wicklow tried it. They lost 40% of their clubs. Limerick tried it. I think they lost 30 or 40% of their clubs.
Of their clubs disappeared?
They lost, not necessarily disappeared, but they lost 30 or 40% of their membership bases. These are facts, guys. These aren't pulled out of sky. Your first caller there, I think her name was Sarah. Sarah can back this up. She's in Wicklow, she said. Like these are things that have happened. Limerick went to calendar soccer, and within a year, they had reverted back, because they had lost so much clubs. Clubs were pulling out during mid-season because they couldn't get the players at a financial cost to clubs. Yes, as I said when I originally started this call, some of the aspects of the football pathways plan make 100% more sense. 100% sense. We need to get more people playing international level for this club or for this country. We need to get more people. This country needs to start competing on an international stage at the Euros and that, and at World Cups and all that sort of stuff. There's ways to do it.
Yeah.
But forcing 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 12-year-olds into a season that they don't want isn't the way to do it, because all you're going to do is make them fall out of love with the game.
Okay.
The kids at that age don't care. They just want to play whenever, surely.
Yeah, kids want to play, but they equally. My son is 8 years of age. He wants to be with his friends.
Mm.
Like tonight, for example, it's 9:30. I had to bring him down to training in GAA from 6 to 7, and he came straight up soccer from 7 to 8. that's grand. Our soccer season finishes this weekend, so that's not going to continue. But if I have to do that on a weekly basis, by the time that child is 12 or 13 years of age, he's going to be burned out, guys. He's going to be burned out. And it's the same with referees. Like, if you're going to be asking referees, yes, you might have more. But, like, most referees are reffing GAA and reffing soccer. I ref GAA, as I said, and I'm involved in soccer as a coach. I couldn't imagine. Like, if I got any more games than GAA, guys, I'd be flat on my feet. Right. You know what I mean? If I was reffing soccer as well, it's just impossible.
Right.
We have to think of people, the people factor here, and that's something that's not been taught about.
And that is what we're trying to do this evening as well. 0879 180 180 is our number if you want to get involved in the conversation. We'll take a quick break. This week on Diverted.
Sí, well, you know, cuando tienes tiempo en Argentina, es esencial para comer media luna todos los tiempos.
I tell the story of how my hitchhiking disaster led me to the family of Alexis McAllister.
Para nosotros también es un gran orgullo que mi hermano haya jugado con Maradona y Alexis, su hijo, haya jugado con Messi, que son los dos más grandes exponentes del fútbol mundial que dio la Argentina.
I also meet Dickie McAllister at the Buenos Aires Hurling Club, and we discover the national sport of Argentina, pato.
¿Anduviste en otro lado filmando pato ya o no?
Diverted, coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to a special football show on the Align calendar in Irish football. We're going to run through a few more callers here just to try and get a flavour of the feeling out there in the country this evening. Chris Hand is from the Combined Counties Football League, under 17 to senior men and women. And I'm delighted to say he's with us on the line. Chris, how are you getting on?
That's bad, lads. And look, thanks very much for airing this. It's really very important. It's a very, very important topic. It's one that's dividing football, as we know at the moment, and it's really good that yourselves are giving people an opportunity to contribute to this debate.
It has divided football. What side of the division are you on?
Me, personally, it doesn't matter. I'm the secretary of the league. I'm elected. I'm a volunteer. I'm elected every 2 years by the clubs. My mandate is the club's mandate. And on the 31st of March, we talked about the aligned calendar. We said, have the feelings changed? And 85% of the membership, and we're in a little bit of unique insofar as we've got, we're the only league in Ireland who have teams from the four provinces playing in our league. So we've got a fairly good handle in terms of, you know, the depth of feeling, the strength of feeling. So for me personally, I would be opposed to it, and that's just as a volunteer. But more importantly, it's the clubs in our league that stretched all the way from Bally James, Duff up in Cavan, all the way down to Ballymackey down in County Tipperary.
What's the main reason you're against it?
Because of participation levels. The clubs, a lot of the players, a fairly high percentage of the clubs in our league depend on players who play Gaelic in one part of the year, and then they return to play soccer then during the winter time or during the time of the year that our season is structured. And we've found that, I suppose, how we've managed the situation, that is, we've actually condensed our divisions, we've localised them to try and keep travel down. And what it means then is that we can get our leagues played very well. There's not a big demand in terms of the numbers of games. If we've got time on our hand then at the back end of the season, we can actually expand our playing time by going with two-legged cup competitions, for example. So It's really down to the players. The players would not be there for our clubs. They could not survive without the dual players and the players who play alternative sports, which is directly going to put us into the real calendar. And that's the big fear.
I just want to keep this conversation moving, so I want to bring in Peter Travers here from Cork. He's the secretary of the Cork Business League. Peter, what's your stance on it? I think you might be more pro the Align calendar.
Hi lads, thanks for having me on. Listen, same as your last caller there, I was secretary of the league, so it's the clubs that kind of direct us and what we want to do. So, look, we've had meetings with all our clubs in the last year and a half, 2 years about this, because the FAI has had all the roadshows, the conferences and stuff, giving us all the information. So we've kind of relayed back the majority of all the information that is, I suppose, linked to our clubs, because look, we're an adult league. And throughout the last couple of years, it's been 90% yes, that we were happy to move to an aligned calendar season. So, like, obviously, you'd have a couple of questions and queries, but from what we've had, we tried to keep them informed and tell them, look, the benefits of, you know, increased participation, you'll have an easier registration process, and the pitches and the weather will be a lot better in the summer months. But just even going back to that, like, we've, last 2 years, I suppose, sat on these grassroots conferences as secretaries, and also, look, I'm still an active player, so I kind of, I'm still involved on the pitch as well. So it's just the information that the FAI has been giving us has been consistent about the changes, about the increased participation, like even they're telling us, you know, the increase or the improvement to how schoolboys and schoolgirls will be coached, will be playing throughout the seasons and stuff. That's been consistent for the last couple of years. And I mean, look, we all know in the past, the FAI has tried the change to a line calendar. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked. But I think the last couple of years, they've been committed to give us as much information and to be supporting us in the change. So yeah, look, our clubs are kind of following on from that. They do want to play with an aligned calendar. It doesn't mean that we're playing in July. Doesn't mean we're playing in August. But it just means that we have a more structured approach to playing.
We'll try and get back to Chris in just a moment, but I want to bring Shane Keegan in here as well. Shane, good evening. Thanks a million for joining us on the show. That does seem to be a point that maybe a lot of people haven't quite appreciated just yet, or maybe it is more of an inconvenience, the fact that an aligned calendar does not mean summer soccer per se.
Yeah. And look, the thing here for me, Owen, is, you know, I heard Geron with you last week, and some of the stuff that he said around, you know, trying to, he spoke about leagues, and he says, look, if a league thinks that they're not able to have their normal league through the summer months, you know, maybe they take a break from the normal league through the summer months and they run their league season either side of the summer months, and they go with more smaller blitz style activities during those summer months where clubs may have less numbers and not have their full amount of players available to them. That sounds like a fantastic idea. I don't really understand why it can't be done now in the current format. Surely that's a brilliant idea. Let's have more football available for the players that want it during the summer months. But we don't have to change it to a calendar season for that to happen. I mean, the season can still start in September and end in April, and then we organise all those activities for... Why do we need to go to calendar soccer for that to happen?
I think it's a good point, because if you look at a lot of leagues at the moment, teams will resume training in August. They'll play friendlies through August. The league will start in September. They'll probably go all the way till December the 15th, a couple of weeks break for Christmas, back in training. League starts mid-January, go to mid-June. Mini World Cups for the kids till the end of June. Probably take July off, and then you're probably back in training again in August, friendlies. So most counties, I think, are playing probably 11 months. Or maybe I'm naive here, Shane, and that's just a Dublin thing, and that the reason this is needed is because in a lot of places, actually, those opportunities aren't there.
Yeah, and look, like you're saying, I think, you know, I just can't see how that can't work. Like, it's, as I say, this is not to completely dismiss what the FAI are doing. I think they have the right idea. They absolutely need to create, you know, more playing opportunities for the, there are a lot of kids. Well, I'm arguing that it's going to be very difficult for rural clubs where there's a massive GA and use the word soccer, even though people are probably cringing when I say it, but when there's a massive GA and soccer overlap, that there are going to be a huge amount of kids pulled between the two. I do understand that there are also kids who aren't involved in the GA and would like more opportunity to play soccer during the summer months. Brilliant. Brilliant. Let's organise that for them. But that doesn't have to be tied in with calendar, Nathan. I don't see how it does. Look, in my opinion, I have been in one of my previous roles was as academy director for Treaty United. And I can tell you, with that hat on, I would absolutely have been beating the drum to change to summer football. Because what I found in that role was we were trying to recruit the best young players from the local schoolboy clubs. The seasons were overlapping. They weren't technically out of
contract, even though you get what I mean, out of registration period is probably a better phrase to use at the time that we were trying to sign them. It was a fierce headache. And this is one of the major, I mean, all talk seems to be around better pitches during the summer and all that. Like, there's no doubt about this, Nathan. One of the major, major, major driving forces behind the FAI trying to force this over the line is to make it easier for the League of Ireland clubs to take the best schoolboy players at the time that is most convenient to them. But again, you're kind of serving, you're serving the 10% there and making the
90%. And that's not even 10%, Shane. I had a look at this last week again, going back to my own age group, and there have been about 3,500 players at under 12 level in Dublin alone. About 100 of those players, maybe slightly more, will go on to play under 14 League of Ireland Academy football. It's around 3%. And look, those players need to take it seriously. You compare it to other sports, tennis, golf, swimming, you know, they're not going away on their summer holidays. They're committed to their sport. And if you want to make it in football, you probably need to make that commitment. But there's this massive majority who just love their game and who want to play as many matches as possible. And focusing it down so that at the top of the pyramid, yes, we need to find ways and we need better pathways for those elite players. But there is also that risk of anything that puts that bottom base in trouble, I think people understandably are concerned about.
100%, Nathan. And I think they've been quite clever. I think Sheffield have been quite clever here in that point hasn't really, that's managed to stay under the radar a little bit. That hasn't really come up a huge amount, that this is one of their major, major driving factors behind the decision. You know, I think they're kind of hiding behind the better pitches in summer argument and almost not touching on that being one of the real motivating factors. But I think the schoolboy people out there know that it is definitely a big driving force behind it.
All right, we got to take one last break. We'll get to hopefully a few more opinions, and there's loads of texts coming in as well. 0879 180 180 is our number.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, we had some of this.
The men's and the women's sevens program has been intertwined in its entirety throughout. So why is one program being cut and the other isn't? And then I think it starts to become political then. I'm glad the women's program is staying. I think it's fantastic. And the reasons that they're keeping it are the exact same reasons that the men program should be kept as well.
And we also had this.
That was the first time where I experienced Sam Murray's genius. He caught the throw in, I'm not joking, Jerry, and he just took half up the pitch and he weaved his way through like Messi through the middle of the pitch and just rolled the ball to the bottom left hand corner of the net, and we never looked back from that moment.
You can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning from 7:30.
Fair to say we haven't sorted this issue out once and for all this hour, Nathan. Strong opinions on both sides, and it is one of those things that you can totally understand why summer football would be of benefit to a whole swathe of the country. And at the same time, you listen to someone like Shane Keegan there, and it does feel like the FAI have not provided a compelling enough reason for change. What are people out there saying?
No, and look, organised football during the summer is definitely fraught with difficulties, particularly probably in Dublin. And that's a message from Shirley, and the difference again between the urban rural divide. I think the clubs in large towns and cities can cope with a line season because of the larger population. Smaller clubs in rural areas can't, because it's the same small pool of children playing all the sports. It's not fair they have to choose at a young age. We should be trying to get kids out playing sport for their health and well-being. A mum in rural Ireland. Again, the argument would be it's done in certain counties already in rural areas, and they've managed to find a way of working the GEA and the soccer calendars together. Opinion on summer football, thank God it's here. Played junior league football for 10 years, October to February. Home and away matches nearly always cancelled due to pitch conditions. So frustrating. Summer football and decent pitches, player of more consistency, time to develop, actually play on decent surfaces, says Ian in Waterford. A message in about unintended consequences of third level football scholarships. There's over 100 League of Ireland players on third level scholarships in university and colleges around the countries. Lots of the university has teams to play Leinster Senior League, etc. Once these leagues convert to summer football, will universities continue to provide scholarships to players who are not available to play in the summer? We play in the RDFL, Roscommon and North Galway. We play in the summer with none of the issues discussed. Each code has their match nights. Pitches playable in the winter. Can play all summer. Pitches can be used all summer. Pitches not rock hard most of the time. And GEA play in the summer as well, says David. And Darren says, the players don't want to change to an aligned calendar. We weren't asked. Our season's almost finished. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks off, taking some sunny weekends away with the family. I wouldn't dare do that during the season. The groundsman's looking forward to getting his hands on the pitch. Can't do that during the winter. The mental health aspect also. It gets players out on dark, depressing nights.
Yeah, plenty more coming in as well. 0879 180 180 is our WhatsApp number. There's a long one in here from Tony Cusick, who's the chairman of Shelburne AFC in Limerick. And we may not have time to get through the whole thing here, but his thoughts on calendar summer football, and he says our thoughts, really, he could be speaking on behalf of the club here. They are against the move. School holidays is a factor that he points out to. Aligned to this is holiday homes. Many people have holiday homes in the West Coast, some have mobile homes, and some lucky enough to have houses either in Ireland or abroad. People who've settled here from other parts of Europe send their children back to their relations in summer in order to learn the language and culture. Irish college is a factor, he says. Summer camps, a factor. Goes on to mention pitches. When our clubs expected to treat their pitches, sand-based pitches need to be sanded, aeration, reseeding, etc. You can't do this work in the height of winter. He mentions the direct clash with the GEA, mentions the burden on volunteers, which has been a constant theme of tonight's show. Experience, he mentions calendar slash summer football was tried a few years ago in Limerick and in different parts of the country. It was not successful. Then he goes on to say when you don't align with the school or college year, there's a massive risk of losing players. And then when do you run your Kennedy Cup and Gaynor Cup competitions? He asks. Places like UL campus would not be available during college terms. Another point is the availability of referees during the summer months. My understanding is that they haven't been consulted. The bottom line is that we will see a massive drop off in participation at grassroots level.
This is coming to a head. News tonight, John Fallon in the Examiner, the Cork School Boys League has informed the FAI they won't be applying for the grant for the Kennedy Cup and Gaynor Cup. We spoke about this last week, that the leagues need to come back with their plan for an aligned calendar to get that grant. And it's clear that a lot of the leagues simply aren't going to do that. And remember, this is due to start in January. So it's coming to a head very, very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very, very complicated situation, and one, well, it's not a complicated situation. It's a complicated reaction to a straightforward situation that the FAI probably envisaged. So you can keep your comments coming in, 0879 180 180, and I'm sure it's a theme of the show that we'll be getting back to again over the coming weeks. Massive thanks to Torna and our team who phoned around all week to get those callers lined up and to, I guess, gauge the temperature around the country, and to Ken on Sound who helped put this phone-in special together as well. The show is produced by Emma Carroll tonight, SKG on digital. Nathan, thank you for your company. Tomorrow night, Mike Quirk will look ahead to the weekend's GAA action. We've got live League of Ireland commentary from Dailyman Park of Bows versus Shells. Chat to you then. Tom Dunne is up next. Good night.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.